God be with you, and welcome to worship at Knox United Church in Parksville. We are thrilled that you are joining us today for worship as we celebrate the presence of God in our lives and our theme, continuing our theme sermon series of spiritual resilience. And this week we're looking at spiritual resilience through silence, the gift of silence. Joining me today is Donna White as our guest musician. Thank you so much, Donna, for being here again this week. Really appreciate you coming. And we'd also like to thank Alex and Chelsea for adding their voices and lifting us up and inspiring us through their gift of song and leading us in hymns. And thanks to Shane Kahn for offering a dramatic monologue today. He is going to be the prophet Elijah, which is great. Thanks so much, Shane, for joining us. And thanks to Shirlene Donnelly, our team lead of worship and the arts, who's going to be leading us in prayer with the tank drum. And thanks always to Karen and to Sandy for being our tech support for this pre-recording. Just a little announcement. This coming Sunday, there are still two backyard churches happening at Jeanette Mossing's home and at Les and Sally Dabb's home. They are both full, so we are going to be having Wild Church in the backyard of Knox this Sunday at 11 a.m., and we're going to be exploring the gift of silence, and also if people can bring pictures of where you have experienced the sacred in your life, a photo of that, where you most experience the divine presence, and especially those places when you have been, had an opportunity to be silent. So, we will light the Christ candle as a sign of Christ's presence among us. This flickering candle reminds us to live into our values of compassion, joy, inclusion, and spirituality, and to live into our mission that, guided by the creative spirit of God, we are called to build community that cares, shares, and dares. So I invite us to pass the peace with one another wherever you find yourselves, in your imagination or in your home, as we listen to Donna play a prelude. Spirit of God breathes upon us, we are reminded of Carolyn McDade's song, Spirit of Life, Come Unto Me. Let us sing together. Spirit of life, we give thanks that you infuse all things, that you are all in all. Help us to be aware of your still small voice, that gentle whisper, that sound of sheer silence in which you make your home. Help us to be aware of your palpable peace that passes all understanding, that quiets us and calms us like a child in its mother's arms. Help us to find you in the silence of our days, like Elijah found you in the cave. Help us to find you also in our dark places. All this we ask in the name of the one who found you in the wilderness, the Christ, the Anointed One. Amen. I'd invite Shane now to do the dramatic monologue based on the life of Elijah of chapters 18 and 19 in 1 Kings of Elijah.
My name is Elijah, and I am a prophet for the God of northern Israel. I used to be the advisor and prophet to King Ahab, who followed the laws of the God of Israel. Unfortunately, his faithfulness to God ended when King Ahab married a Sidonian princess named Jezebel and began to follow the god of Baal, her gods and goddesses. Queen Jezebel proved her faithfulness to the gods of Baal and rounded up all the prophets of Israel and had them killed, except for the 100 prophets that her advisor Obadiah saved by hiding them in caves and feeding them with bread and water. And for me, who managed to escape? For 3 years, no rain fell upon our land, and I was alone. At the end of 3 years, 3 years of drought, God asked me to go to King Ahab and to the people of Israel. I was afraid, but I knew that I needed to prove to all of the peoples of Israel, who had now begun to worship the nature gods of Baal, that the God of Israel was the one true God. And so, I came back to King Ahab and proposed a contest of fire. We climbed to the top of Mount Carmel, and I told the people of Israel to bring two bulls for sacrifice, one for the god of Baal and one for the god of Israel. And I told them that whichever god could light their own fire for the sacrifice of their bull would prove which god was more real and more powerful. So all day, 450 prophets of Baal danced with all their might to the god of Baal and called upon their god for fire. But no answer came from the god of Baal, and no fire surrounded their bull sacrifice to the god of Baal. And so I taunted them, "Perhaps your god is deep in thought, or busy, or maybe even traveling." And then I called upon the God of Israel, and suddenly a fire descended, and the bull sacrifice was made to the God of Israel. And then everyone knew that the God of Israel was the true God. In my victory, I commanded all of the people to seize the prophets of Baal, and I called for the slaughter of 450 prophets of Baal, and all of them were killed. The ground was red with blood. When Queen Jezebel heard from Ahab about the slaughter of all her prophets, she was furious and demanded that I too be killed. So now I am terrified. Queen Jezebel is seeking her revenge for all of her dead prophets, and has threatened me and told me to but the next time she sees me, she will kill me. So, here I am, on the run. I've been on the run for 2 days without food and water. I collapsed under a broom tree and wanted to die. I cried out to God, "I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." And then I fell asleep. When I awoke, there was warm bread on hot coals and water to quench my thirst. I heard a voice say to me, "Get up and eat." The journey was long. And so I got up and ate. But I fell back to sleep again. But the voice told me to get up and to keep going. So I've been on the run in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and I've come to the most deserted place I know. I've come to a cave high in the hills of Mount Sinai, and I went to sleep. And then I heard a voice ask me, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And so I told the Lord, "I'm so afraid for my life, so discouraged. I just want to die. I don't want to be a prophet of God anymore. I am tired of advising kings and tired of the violence and chaos and all of the killing in God's name. I'm not even sure now if that is even what I was supposed to do. I'm not sure if I got it right. I am no better than my ancestors. Maybe it was my own pride speaking, but not God's voice at all. Perhaps my fervor for God has gotten in the way of hearing God's voice." Then I heard a voice deep inside me ask again, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" So I told the voice that I was tired. I didn't want to be a prophet anymore. And the voice told me to stand at the edge of the cave, for God was going to pass by. And at first, a great wind swirled by, picking up everything in its wake, crushing the rocks in its wildness. I didn't sense God in the chaos of the great wind. And then I felt a great earthquake shake the ground upon which I stood. But I didn't sense the God in the drama of the earthquake. And then I witnessed a great fire destroying everything in its wake. But I didn't sense that God was in the destruction and devastation of the fire. And then I felt the presence. There, in the most palpable peace, in the stillness, in the sheer sound of silence, I heard God. And that's when I knew what I should do. God told me that I needed to return to Damascus and to anoint Hazael as king of Aram and Jehu as king of Israel and Elisha as the new prophet in my place. Now I am free. I am at peace. And now I really do know.
Today we're going to be talking about the gifts of silence, and so I thought I'd begin a little joke about the silent treatment. and I'm sure couples will find this very familiar. A man and his wife were having some problems at home and were giving each other the silent treatment. Suddenly the man realized that the next day he would need his wife to wake him at 5 a.m. for an early morning business flight. Not wanting to be the first to break the silence and lose the competition, he wrote on a piece of paper, "Please wake me at 5 a.m. And he left it where he knew his wife would find it. The next morning, the man woke up only to discover it was now 9 a.m. and he had missed his flight. Furious, he was about to go and see why his wife hadn't wakened him when he noticed a piece of paper by the bed. The paper simply said, "It is 5 a.m. Wake up." Women like to have the last word, even if it's written down. We are living in an unprecedented time when the entire world has been forced to spend more time at home. In fact, we are strongly discouraged from going out of our homes and socializing with too many others. And many of us are resisting this new normal. We don't like it at all. We feel socially isolated and alone. And now we're concerned that as the fall arrives and as the numbers are going up around the world, and as children return to school, that we just might be forced into lockdown again. But what if we looked at this time of COVID differently? What if we looked at this time as an opportunity for each of us to grow spiritually? What if we recognize this COVID time as a time for each of us to spend more time in silence, to become more comfortable within ourselves, and get to know more and become more intimately acquainted with the Holy Spirit who dwells within? What if we use this time as our contemplative time to discover the fruits of silence? In Elizabeth O'Connor's book, Search for Silence, she raises the importance of the gift of silence in our lives, that amidst the noise and busyness and many distractions of life, we've lost the ancient mystical practice of silence, which holds so many gifts and fruits for us. She points out that it is in going into silence that we find our true home within ourselves, and we can find that place of inner calm and become at home within ourselves. So often we are afraid to become silent, afraid to face our own thoughts and feelings and fears and demons, our past, our mistakes, our failures. But the fruit of silence is that ultimately it allows us to become comfortable in our own. As O'Connor says, it just might be the work of the gospel to know oneself and to become one with who we are. As we reflect on the story of Elijah, we become privy to the spiritual evolution of a soul growing and maturing in this cave of silence. In the cave, Elijah comes to experience the gifts. The first gift of silence is in the confronting of his aloneness. In his aloneness, he stops to feel the pain and fear of his human experience. Stripped away with nothing but his own feelings and thoughts, no other distractions of purpose, he feels his own aloneness intently. He says to God, "I alone am left. Of all your prophets, I alone am left." Elizabeth O'Connor tells the story of a time when she was in a healing circle in which they were asked to name their deepest fear. She said that she didn't want to admit her greatest fear was to be alone. But then one day, In that circle, one by one, as at each person found the courage to speak, each person, lo and behold, shared the very same fear of being alone. In fact, the only other fear that people named in that intimate circle, as is said, was next to the fear of being alone, was the fear of failure. And even that, she said, as we talked, we realized that we were afraid of failure because it just might leave us alone. In the cave of silence, Elijah also gives voice to his sense of failure. He confesses to God, "I am no better than my ancestors." Even though Elijah was victorious in proving to the people of Israel that their God was more powerful and responsive than the God of Baal, Elijah was responsible for the slaughter of 450 people. He didn't do that on God's direction. He realizes, "I'm no better. I'm just as violent as my ancestors." So the first gift of silence is confrontation of our own fears and confessing them, which means to give voice to them. Surrounded by silence, it gives us the opportunity to confront and admit our self-doubts. They bubble up inside of us. But when we sit in the silence and attend to it, the silence allows us to confront our dark side, our fears and failures, openly and honestly. It helps us to come to terms with who we are instead of who we pretend to be or wish we were. Silence gives us the time and space, if we attend to it, to shed our superficial selves and discover our true self. Silence allows us to come into a state of truth and makes way for our authenticity. And it's such a relief to sink into what is real and true. In the silence of a cave emerges a second gift for Elijah, the gift of someone who is genuinely interested. Out of the silence, the hard and holy question bubbles up from God, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" God genuinely cares about what is happening for Elijah and has the infinite patience to hear Elijah out. It is an existential question that all of us are called to answer. And Elijah answers the question. He's able to pour out the whole sad story of his life and how he came to be in the cave. He's able to share all of his heartbreaks and disappointments and pour them all out before God. And the wonderful silence of God receives it all. The silence of God is a great listener. The silence helps us to hear ourselves and our stories in ways that we have never heard before. Holy silence never interrupts and lets us tell ourselves our story from beginning to end, all the way. And it is in the pouring out of his story, uninterrupted, that Elijah begins to feel lighter. No one comes to his rescue. The silence just receives it and accepts it. Silence graces us with the spacious gift of listening to our own lives, as Parker Palmer puts it. So the second gift of silence is its wonderful capacity to help us listen to our own story and to honor its pain without interruption or correction. The silence of God receives and relieves Elijah's pain. And then as Elijah spends more time alone in the holy silence of the cave, he becomes aware of the third gift of silence, the gift of awareness and clarity. Elijah begins to realize that God doesn't will us to do violence and be people of destruction like earthquakes and winds and fires. The God of Israel is not a God of chaos and devastation and violence. God The God of Israel, the true God, is most deeply felt and known in the quiet, in the stillness, in the gentle whisper, in the still small voice, in the sound of silence. That is where God resides. As Elijah stands on the edge of the cave to witness God passing by, as he looks down upon the world from his mountaintop perspective, he realizes that the presence of God is not experienced in the wild, raging winds of human-made devastations and destruction and violence. God is not in tornadoes of human emotions driven by anger or fear. God is not in the earthquake shaking of beliefs and foundations upon which we have built our lives. Nor is God known through a showy contest of pomp and ceremony and petty competitions between people to prove which God is bigger and better between religions. The God that brings the sweet peace of gentle acceptance as grace is known in the quiet, in the gentle whisper, in the sound. And it is in that moment, when Elijah senses the peace of God at the edge of the cave, that the prophet discovers another fruit of silence. Elijah finds new possibilities and direction for his life. In the cave, Elijah realizes he doesn't have to be a prophet anymore if he doesn't want to. That God is not a God of fiery sacrifice, but a God of freedom. And just as Elijah felt a call to be a prophet, he can also answer a call to lead the prophetic life, if that is what he most deeply desires. God tells Elijah that he can anoint two other kings, one for northern Israel to replace Ahab, who has lost his way, and one for southern Israel. And then he can anoint Elisha as a prophet to replace himself. Elijah realizes he can retire, and that his life holds so many possibilities and choices. He discovers that he is freer than he ever thought possible. This expanded time of aloneness and silence provides Elijah with so many gifts. The gift of facing his fears, the gift of telling the truth to himself, the gift of listening to his own life, the gift of awareness and clarity, of knowing and experiencing the peace of God, the gift of new possibilities and freedoms, of knowing one's heart's desire and being given the freedom to follow. Our story of Elijah reminds us that in this time of COVID, perhaps we need to embrace this time, not as a curse or as a punishment, but as a blessing. Not as something to endure, but as an opportunity to contemplate and befriend the gift of silence, to nurture and make the most of these slower and more silent times, that we too might grow more deeply into the presence of the Holy and become more spiritually mature and find our inner resilience in our own soul. A couple of weeks ago at the Gathering Place, which has been happening every Tuesday at 10 behind the labyrinth if the weather is good, we gather, and I heard someone sharing about what a gift COVID has been to her, and how this beautiful time of silence has been a time in which she has blossomed in her creativity, and how her soul has felt more expansive and full of God's peace, now more than ever. And she noticed that out of her silence has come the desire to give voice to her experience, and for the very first time in her entire life, she wrote a poem. That the silence has given birth to her creativity. I asked her if it would be okay for her to share her poem, if I would share her poem with you today, as a reminder of the gifts that come in silence. She agreed that I could share it. So thank you, Delaine Walsh, for sharing your poem with us. Its title is based on the Hindu word of meditation, Om. And so It is entitled Home, but she spells it capital H apostrophe O-M, because that is the sound of the vibration of the world in meditation. Home. Home is where the heart is. The older I become, the louder is the thrum of life outside in tones of its own. Vehicles like arrows move the wind. They trumpet loudly, uniquely by purpose and design. Though much more so within the one at the wheel. Now I catch the cadence of the kitchen clock, the surety of simmering coffee, as home speaks in tones of its own. I sit, smiling as I note all sounds singing softly. Gentle tick-tock of my heart, the hum of a life in time and in harmony with all. Sweet peace at last. Thank you, God. May each of us take the time to uncover the gifts of silence in this COVID time. May it be so. Thank you. We pray for all those among us who are ill of body, mind, heart, and spirit, and all those this day who grieve. Rest in God alone. Pray this day for the state of the world. Rest in God alone. Day we pray for our own families and lives, for the children of the world returning to school, for care homes, for healthcare workers, for wisdom and grace in places of leadership. We rest in God alone. And just as you heard the cry of Christ on the cross and raised him to new life and new hope, each of us. And for this we are eternally grateful, that even in the silence, your presence is made known to us. Continue to guide us on our journey. Companion us, we pray, as we say together the prayer that Jesus taught all those who would choose to follow after him. Our Father and Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now we close by singing a heritage hymn that will be familiar to many of you, that reminds us to take time, make time, to become whole, whole. Shadow of a doubt, that the God of love holds you close, that Jesus the Christ guides you with gentleness and grace and wisdom, and that the Holy Spirit which dwells within will give you the courage and strength and patience and fortitude